Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Long day in the State House of Representatives yesterday as the special session began. The two biggest issues are obviously the reworked housing bill in the last session. Again, it bears repeating. There was a housing bill that was worked on for a long time. It appeared that the governor was on board and it passed. And when it went to his desk, there was a tremendous groundswell of pushback and the governor ended up vetoing it. And so Jason Rojas, the majority leader in the House, went back and they worked on it in the last few months and came to the special session yesterday and it passed in the House. Now it goes over to the Senate. The way the Democratic majority works, it's going to pass no matter what the Republicans do or say. And the governor who signed off on it is expected to sign it. He said as much on our air. And it was in the House yesterday. And the other big issue was the $500 million sort of fund that is being tacked on using surplus money that's being tacked onto the rainy day fund to really utilize at the governor's discretion to fill in some of the shortfalls from the federal government, specifically, you know, related to SNAP and other benefits from the government shutdown, especially made it more acute. We want to talk with Steve Weir, state representative representing the 55th district. We're talking Andover, Bolton, Glastonbury, Hebron, Marlborough, and he's a frequent contributor to the show. Representative Weir, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning, Brian and everybody.
So listen, is this bill not better than the one that passed in the last session?
I'm really struggling. Well, first of all, I'm struggling to determine whether or not it's better because we saw the final version of the bill basically an hour before we began session yesterday. So what I was working on as a draft that we were given Friday that was 99 pages yesterday morning at, I don't know, about 9:25, it went on the system at 104 pages. And so all the questions I had that were basically line by line all had to be reformatted. It was really, it's just a broken process. I'm disappointed in, it's hard to answer your question objectively because, right. You know, I know what I voted on, and I did the best I could in that final hour to familiarize myself with a couple new sections that were added, but it threw off the ability to ask my opinion. You know, I like to get specific and ask kind of real world, how will this affect the average person type questions. And it made it difficult to go when the whole thing had changed. So.
Well, can I just interject? Is the frustration, because I want to separate it out, it might be both. Is the frustration more because the Republicans are getting shut out or because it's a bad bill?
Well, it was definitely a bad bill. I think maybe if it was anywhere close to being a good bill, we might have been included in the conversation. I mean, that's just conjecture. But yes, it's a bad bill. I was hearing it from all of my municipalities. Basically this takes away, it's a watered down version of taking away local control. There was a few less shalls and a few more mays in terms of permitting towns to opt in or opt out. But at the end of the day, they're tied to certain requirements. And so it's a bad bill and it's a terrible process. And it was so disorganized to the fact that we got it 20 minutes into the debate and the fiscal note that tells people and tells legislators this is the cost of this program hadn't been posted on the system. So we had to pause the whole proceedings so they could cobble together a really disjointed fiscal note that had no total at the bottom. And so here I am, using my calculator and trying to figure out what the impact is. Just a poor process and why we're doing this in a special session, why this couldn't wait till February. There was no emergency here. A couple of the sections had no public hearing. So procedurally and just the whole process is really, it's a really sad state. So
I mean, for me, it's,
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I can read the 104 pages, I got to be honest. And, you know, I think the thinking was, you know, they already did the debate and the essence is the same. But I agree. Like, it doesn't seem like there was a need to do it in a special session. Why not just do it next legislative session? And I guess they didn't want to wait for it to be enacted in a whole, you know, till next summer, if you will. But the whole issue of this local control, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. It sounded like the mandate was off the table, but they just had to come up with a plan. Is that not true?
Well, they have to come up with a plan, or the region, you know, some of these towns, I mean, first of all, the planning is burdensome. So, I mean, that's extra time. You know, we have people in these small towns, my small towns, who are now going to be burdened with coming up with a plan. And if we don't have the bandwidth to do that, then the local council of government, regional council of government, can help with that plan. But then that plan has to go and be approved by OPM. And so if the town of Hebron, by, you know, that's where I live, if we put up a plan and OPM doesn't agree, now we have to state our case why we have a plan of, you know, X number of affordable housing units. So it just adds a layer. It takes away from the town to determine how, you know, each town to determine how it wants to look.
Right.
You know, I know the advocates that, you know, they want to see a goal and they want to see every town do their fair share. And I say, look, every town is not the same. You've got cities that already have this infrastructure with buildings that are unused, underutilized, that could be repurposed. You know, why aren't we talking about fixing up the cities and making those an attractive place versus, you know, kind of push this sort of stuff out into the suburbs where we have no city water, no sewer, no transportation, in some cases, no jobs.
Yeah.
Why are we forcing this?
So we're talking with Representative Steve Weir from the 55th. Well, the other side says that, you know, there's incentives here to put in the infrastructure to help out. Now, this is where I get into this specific question, because it's hard for me to know. It's hard for listeners to know, because one side says it's great, one side says it's terrible, and we just have to either take one's word or the other. So my question is, when will we know? Like, when will things start happening when we can judge this?
I mean, the wheels of government move small. There's so much red tape involved in this. There's a lot of things are contingent on funding. You know, by the time plan, I don't know, it could be a decade. I mean, I think we'll see some of the maybe the negative effects sooner, meaning that the towns and cities are going to say, look, you know, you're asking for this, for these plans. I think those burdens are going to hit, you know, right away as we're starting to, you know, have to implement these. And then, you know, the benefits, the so-called benefits of this, I mean, how long it takes to put a plan together, get the funding, get the shovels in the ground, could be decades, could be, you know. The question I asked is, you know, our population has been pretty stagnant over the past several decades, other than the spike for COVID. And the question I ask is, what contingency is here if Connecticut has a population decline?
Right.
You know, if we have an out-migration, can we adjust the plans downward? Are we still committed to building this housing? You know, at the end of the day, the market works best, when we're not manipulating it, and the supply and demand. You know, I think if towns and cities want to build more housing, if it was that really that easy, we'd be doing it already.
Yeah.
Developers would be doing it.
We have less than a minute, Steve. And just in terms of the $500 million
sure
fund, I mean, it seemed like, you know, it was bipartisan, but then with the government shutdown seemingly over, maybe not so much. How did you vote on that one?
Yeah, I voted to support it, and I stay, hesitant, somewhat hesitantly, for exactly the reason you outlined. Is this, this would have been much more timely if we had gotten in, early October and helped those people who are struggling, rather than wait until the day that the government votes to reopen. However, the way that it was structured, it puts that in control of the governor. It's not going to be in control of the legislature, supposedly. So, I trust that the governor is going to be prudent with that money. And if it doesn't get used before we go back into session, it'll go back into the fund. There are things that could happen between now and February that we can't predict. So yeah. I took a somewhat of a leap of faith on his word. And the other endorsements that I heard from inside our party caucus leadership. So I was compelled to vote yes and support it.
Steve, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Steve
Thank
Weir
you. Have a great day,
from
everybody.
The 55th District. We appreciate the time. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. You too.
All right.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.